And now on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM and 99.9 in Prescott and at 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A, it's Talk of the Town. Today is Prescott Day. Talk of the Town is sponsored by the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, House Chilson & Associates, Prescott Brewing Company, A&E Reaper Graphics, Janessa's Family Hair Care, Barrett Propane, Augie's, Cliff Castle Casino, Prescott Dirt, Cottonwood Area Transit, Yavapai Regional Medical Center, and Olson's for Healthy Animals. Now, live from the studios of KQ&A, here's your host for today's show, the mayor of the city of Prescott, Greg Mangarelli.
Good afternoon. My name is Greg Mangarelli, mayor of the city of Prescott, and your host today. We have an interesting show for you today. We'll get an update on COVID-19 in Yavapai County, then we'll take it outside to the trails. My guests today are Leslie Horton, director for Yavapai County Community Health Services, and Chris Hosking, trails and parkland planner. We'll be right back after these messages.
Tough times, Cottonwood Area Transit and Verde Links are here for you, offering a free ride for those necessary trips to the grocery, pharmacy, work, or doctor, Monday through Friday on CAT, 7 days a week on Links. Rest assured, we're taking extra measures to disinfect our buses to keep you safe. To check on routes and schedules, please go to www.ride-cat.com.
Whether it's a car accident, storm damage, or a fire, when the unthinkable happens, it doesn't matter if you saved money in 15 minutes. In this moment, it doesn't matter if your neighbor has the same insurance you do. In this moment, what matters is that your independent insurance agent and the company that stands behind them have you covered. Auto Owners Insurance, the no problem people. Hello, this is Bill Chilson of House Chilson Insurance. For the moments you need us most, call 445-4600. House Chilson Insurance is one of the last independent agents in Prescott.
Before you break ground on a new pool, plant a tree, or start any project that requires digging, make sure you've located any underground utility lines. Your safety depends on it. One scoop of a shovel or backhoe could strike a buried natural gas line or power line, and that could mean trouble, or worse. To avoid property damage or serious injury, call Arizona 811 at least 2 working days before you break ground. Utility companies will mark the location of underground lines so your project can proceed safely. Calling 811 before you dig isn't just good sense, it's required by law. If you do happen to damage an underground utility line, call 911 first and then your local utility company if there's an immediate threat of fire or injury. Remember, call 811 before you dig. It's free, it's easy, it's the law. This safety message brought to you by Unisource Energy Services.
Load up the RV and hit the open road. To the repair shop? Now that's not my idea of a fun trip, and it sure isn't convenient. So let High Country Rec B Center come to you. Mobile service is just one of their specialties. They'll even troubleshoot for you over the phone, so you're not paying for unnecessary parts and repairs. And they're an authorized warranty and service center for all the major RV appliance manufacturers and extended warranty work. So to schedule service or just ask them a question, call them at 772-8231 or online at hicountryrvcenter.com.
Wallach & Volk Mortgage Lending is with you 100% of the way, which is why Wallach & Volk offers great rates with our 100% financing program. And you pay absolutely no money down. For more information about our extraordinary 100% financing program with zero money down, call us at 445-8730 or search us on the web at Wallach & Volk Mortgage.
License number 0012-8295, LMS number 16209, Equal Opportunity Lender.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, the mayor of the city of Prescott, Greg Mangarelli.
Welcome back, everyone, and thanks for listening to Talk of the Town this afternoon. Well, I'm privileged to have our Yavapai County Health Director with us, Leslie Horton. She's done a tremendous job navigating the pandemic, and we're so fortunate to have her here in the county and in the studio with us today. Leslie, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So let's start just kind of with your general, we do this a lot. I see you a lot lately, which is a good thing. Hopefully different circumstances later. But Leslie, give us just a general update on what you're seeing in the county right now, your numbers.
That we're talking about something other than COVID-19 out here on the radio. And yet in Yavapai County, I can't be happier with how our community has wrapped support and mitigation efforts and everything around COVID-19, because as we stand today, we have 71 cases of COVID-19. We've had 1,754 people tested for it, with 1,683 of those being negative. So we do have about a 4% positive rate on tests, which is quite low. And so I'm excited to see that. That just means that people who thought they might have it, or who otherwise had contact with someone who they thought had it, are testing primarily negative.
Well, you know, I love seeing that number go down, Leslie, in terms of the total number of tests and the positives. It was at 5. Now it's at 4%. And I do agree with you that our residents here in Yavapai County have done a tremendous job following the rules and the guidelines. You know, there's been a lot of changes imposed here in the last 3 weeks. You know, some of them not as fun as others. Especially not being able to gather together and go out to eat at the restaurants and go to the bars and have even special events and those kinds of things. But, you know, I think it really has paid off. We see that in our numbers. I was looking at another chart you guys have online, and it shows the number of positive cases that are recorded per day. And looking at that chart, it looks like, you know, we started – testing in kind of mid to late March, but the highest numbers were coming in towards the end of March and early April. And now that we have even the most robust testing that we've had up to this point, those numbers have really dropped off to just like zero to maybe three per day.
Yeah, and that is exactly what I've been seeing. About a couple weeks ago, we did start about mid-March. We started seeing cases around March 20th. And so now that we're nearly a month in, we did see a couple weeks. Last Monday, I think it was, we had 11 cases in one day. And I got a little nervous that day because I thought, oh, no, is this going to be that spike where we continue to see a progression of increased tests each day, and our staff were having to scramble to do all these case investigations, and then yet the next day the case numbers drop back down, and during that week we were seeing, aside from last Monday, we were seeing about 2 to 5 cases a day the week prior, 2 to 5 cases a day last week, and then we hit a day like last Thursday where we had no cases. And then on Friday we had one, and Saturday no cases, and Sunday we had two. This week it's been 1 to 3 cases a day. Today, just one new one. And it's great to see. That shows that possible leveling off of cases where, you know, if we can, it shows that what we're doing as a community is working. These mitigation measures, all the closures, the staying home more, it is working and slowing the spread of this. And, you know, that being said, one sick person in the community that goes spreading this around in the grocery stores or other things could cause trouble for us. So we don't want to be complacent and stop doing what we're doing right now. But it does show that we're trending in a way that could allow us to make some changes eventually that would maybe loosen up some of these restrictions.
Yeah, I know we don't want to be complacent just yet. It is a good sign, though, and it's good to see. I'm kind of a optimist always, and so I like to see those numbers coming down. Because really, Leslie, wasn't this a time this week and next week when it had kind of been predicted to be a peak for us?
Yeah, and there's different scales, different studies that show different peak times. They are looking at the possibility of Arizona peaking this week and any time through mid-May. What I'm seeing across the state is that there's other counties that are still seeing a sharp incline in cases. So we do have a number of counties, Navajo County, Pima County, Maricopa, even Mojave County saw several cases overnight last night that kind of brought their numbers up. And yet, you know, there's our county as well as several others that may have at this point already seen the peak, or will hopefully maintain this low level of cases for a little while till we start seeing it decrease. I mean, we're pretty much at a low level now with only 1 to 3 cases a day. And maybe, you know, it'd be great to have several days in a row where we have none.
Yeah, no, that would be great. Leslie, let me ask one more question on this. Do you expect any kind of backlog? You know, I know sometimes with the labs and just how this works, ensuring that, you know, it truly is a positive COVID-19 case. Do you expect any kind of backlog like that?
You know, it's hard to say. I don't expect. Right now we have testing that is readily available, and we're seeing that if people need testing, that they're getting it. I would like to see rapid testing that gets more people through testing, getting their results quicker. We've had some strange instances where some tests have been held up, and we got some from March this week that had never been reviewed. But at the same time, for the most part, we're seeing a 24 to 48 hour turnaround on test results. We are getting people through who want testing and need testing. And I feel like we're doing okay. We're not quite at the point of widespread testing. We're just like you or I, if we had no symptoms and no exposure, I don't know that we could just walk in yet and get tested. They're still trying to screen people for testing at this point.
Yeah, that's good. And, you know, I think when that day comes when we can relax some of these executive orders and rules and guidelines, you know, I hope people have learned some new habits that should continue, right? Some of the sanitization and cleaning practices that we've all kind of picked up and the hand washing and some of these kinds of things, sneezing into your elbow and all that, you know, if that continues, that will just help us. And that doesn't really cramp our lifestyle.
No, I think that it's great that people are really noticing the need for good sanitation, you know, good hygiene, making sure that they're washing their hands more often before and after you eat, you know, especially if you go to the restroom, you know, and just more often throughout the day using things like hand sanitizer if you know you've touched a cart handle at the store or things like that. I do hope that people will maintain the good habits that we're learning. Some of those things like handshakes, hugs, you know, all that. I hear rumors that people are saying, well, will we ever go back to those things? And I sure hope so. I really think that people crave closeness. We are not made to be socially isolated from each other. And so I do hope that we'll see people quickly return eventually when we're ready, return to those good habits that we've had to set aside for a while.
Yeah, I would fully agree with that. It's important. I think physical touch is important to us as human beings, and I hope that does come back at some point when we get through this. Just a couple minutes before a break here, Leslie, what's the report at the hospital? I think last time I looked, there were 3 hospitalizations in YRMC.
Yeah, I'm looking at that report. So right now we have 4 this morning, what's reported to us, 4 hospitalizations at YRMC. They've got 4 people that are called PUIs, or people under investigation, who are waiting for their test results on the West Campus. They've got 2 people awaiting test results on the East Campus. And so even that number is quite a bit lower than we were seeing in previous weeks. And it's great. From everything I hear from the hospitals, the hospitalization rate has been quite low, and most people are being able to be sent home so that they can recover there.
Yeah, that's great. You know, we were concerned, I remember, in mid-March when you and I first started meeting and with John Amos and others. That was the big concern, was to ensure that we were ready if there was a surge that would really overwhelm our healthcare system, particularly the hospital. And we just never saw that, you know, and that's a good thing. And I think this was a nice test run. You know, we had such tremendous cooperation and working together, and I don't regret that one bit. And I think that just prepares us for the future if we'd ever see anything like this happen again.
Yeah, I'm really proud of how both hospitals, the Verde Valley Medical Center as well as YRMC, have equipped themselves. I mean, they didn't have really any options other than to not do the elective surgeries and those kind of things. But for the most part, they have adjusted their hospitalization and their bed availability and their whole process to account for the need, possibly, of taking a surge or influx of COVID-19 patients. And they've done a great job. They've got plenty of capacity thank goodness we haven't needed to use it. I'm very thankful that people haven't had, we haven't had a lot of people hospitalized by this yet. Let's hope that we don't need it, but I know that they're equipped if we do.
Yeah, that's great. John Amos and his team did a great job at YRMC. We're grateful for their partnership and grateful we haven't seen that surge come up at this time. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue with Leslie. We'll talk about a Friday virtual town hall for faith-based and mental health resources. We'll be right back after these messages.
Hi, I'm Dave Barrett. Think back to a simpler time when things like home delivery of milk and bread came to your door. Now even getting the mail delivered is being questioned. It's good to know that since 1960, folks here in Yavapai County have relied on the Barrett family. From staying warm to cooking, drying clothes, and other needs, you can count on Barrett Propane, just as families have for three generations. You have my name on it. Call us today at 636-1600. Barrett Propane, the name you trust.
Okay, come on, Darby, let's go.
What a sunrise. This is Thumb Butte at its best.
We're all about bright, healthy futures at YRMC's James Family Heart Center. And our Echo Alert program is a shining example. It was designed by YRMC's innovative heart team to find heart valve disease early. That means we treat heart valve disease faster in our community, and we use the latest leading-edge procedures. In fact, the Heart Center's Echo Alert program is now a national care model. A better way to manage heart valve disease, the most advanced treatments, exceptional heart specialists, and your bright, healthy future. All at the James Family Heart Center at YRMC. Inspired by you.
Load up the RV and hit the open road. To the repair shop? Now that's not my idea of a fun trip, and it sure isn't convenient. So let High Country Recce Center come to you. Mobile service is just one of their specialties. They'll even troubleshoot for you over the phone, so you're not paying for unnecessary parts and repairs. And they're an authorized warranty and service center for all the major RV appliance manufacturers and extended warranty work. So to schedule service or just ask them a question, call them at 772-8231 or online at hicountryrvcenter.com.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, the mayor of the city of Prescott, Greg Mangarelli.
Welcome back, everybody, and I am Prescott Mayor Greg Mangarelli, and this is Talk of the Town. Thanks for listening in on KQ&A. We're here with Leslie Horton, and Leslie, a couple more questions before we talk about the town hall. How is your PPP, I should say personal protective equipment, for our medical workers and first responders going here in the county? What are you seeing with that?
You know, we've been very fortunate to have been able to access the strategic national stockpile of PPE. And so it hasn't supplied us fully with everything that we would need for our whole community. But we have prioritized first responders, healthcare providers, and others in the community, especially assisted living facilities or communal living facilities where they really need to have added protection for staff as well as residents. And we've given out 2,092 face shields, 36,970 surgical masks, 15,575 N95 masks, and then it looks like about 11,000 medium gloves, 8,500 small gloves, 15,000 large gloves, and 4,900 extra large gloves. And not sure if I mentioned 2,800 gowns. And so there's, you know, we've given out a lot. What I've heard is that, you know, we can't really say that we're fully equipped at this point. It would be great to have more of the PPE equipment sent our way. We keep hearing rumors and different people identifying at the state level that we're going to get more equipment. And as we do, and as we get donations as well, we can hand those out, and we're trying to divvy those out based on orders that we're all due, I think, today or tomorrow. So we should have all the orders in. We'll try to supply them as much as we can.
Yeah, that's great to hear. I was at a physician earlier this week. I actually went mountain biking, and need a little help with a little boo-boo that I had from mountain biking. But that doctor said that he had received a lot of PPE from you guys, which is great. How does that national stockpile work? That's an interesting concept. Is there some big bunker somewhere where they keep all this stuff?
That's a very good question that I have not asked. I assume that it probably is. I think that the federal government keeps a stockpile of equipment somewhere, some undisclosed location.
Area
none of us
51.
Will ever know. Yes. And then our state also keeps a stockpile, which they had started right away. That was the first shipments that we got, was the state allotment of PPE. We also locally keep in storage in an undisclosed location PPE for emergencies like this. And so there's all these levels of preparedness capacity that are kept for an emergency like this. Now, the one dynamic of being in a pandemic kind of late in the game, where China and Iran and Italy and everyone else saw COVID-19 before we did, is that a lot of the supply shipments that we didn't have stockpiled had gone to other countries before we really needed them. And so that's posed a lot of trouble for people that need to purchase PPE and get shipments here.
Yeah, on this note, I was remembering another time we were together. You were talking, I think actually this morning, you were talking about some scams, and some of it is related to PPE.
Yeah, I was saying, you know, I get probably 20 to 30 emails a day of companies trying to sell PPE. And even from our office, we were going to put in a bulk order to help equip a lot of the fire departments and first responding agencies with PPE that we were going to purchase out of grant money. And we had vetted the company, looked at their tax documentation, but when we looked further, they didn't even have a physical warehouse location, and some other things didn't line up, and we realized that, you know, we probably dodged a bullet on that one by not placing that order in haste. And we had decided to wait a few days, do some more research, and a lot of people are finding that out, that either there's a lot of price gouging out there for equipment that is there, but there's also a lot of scams out there, and so I do warn against that for people looking for PPE.
Yeah, very good. Well, let's shift gears and talk a little bit about this virtual town hall coming up in just a couple days. Friday at 1 o'clock, this will be a virtual town hall meeting, and we use Zoom. People are becoming more familiar with online meetings, and Zoom is one of those major vehicles that we use for these online meetings. And we do have that Zoom link through the city. I know you have it on your county website, which, by the way, the county website has been very helpful. If you've not been there, I highly recommend, if you want data, to go to yavapai.us, and there's all the data that you would want to learn about the cases and the demographics and different things here in our county. But with the virtual town hall, this is on mental health and faith-based resources. Leslie, let's talk a little bit about why we decided to put up this town hall and showcase these kinds of resources.
Well, what we're seeing within our community, and this is something that I try to keep track of even before COVID-19, we're looking at mental health issues and how they affect our community. We know that we have high rates of suicide in Yavapai County. And one of the things that I noticed early, a couple weeks ago, is that we had only one person in our county who had passed away from COVID-19, but we had three in the same week that passed away by suicide. And, you know, I think that what we're seeing right now is that people who normally were reaching out for mental health services prior to COVID-19 are not reaching out as readily for help right now. And we know people are hurting just as much or possibly quite a bit more based on the economy, job loss, quarantines, you know, isolation, all of these things that affect our mental health. And so I love the idea of a town hall where we can focus on vulnerable populations, on people who are at risk for mental health trouble and who need help, or people who serve those who need these resources. And we can kind of bring forward the issues that we're seeing, as well as where to go for resources when people need them.
Yeah, you know, the fight initially was with the virus, I feel like, and I think we did a good job, and I compliment everyone out there that's listening for following the guidelines and being civil about it. You know, we kind of lose some of our precious freedoms, but it's for a good cause, to save lives and to slow the spread, as they were saying. But now the fight kind of needs to move as well to this other issue, as you mentioned, that there's a toll that it takes on people when you're isolated, when you might lose your job or you're concerned about the health of your business. There's a lot of stress points that we're looking at right now.
Yeah, I think that people, whether they're reaching out for help or not, I think that everyone needs a little added care right now. And people are, you know, struggling in ways that we could never have predicted even 2 months ago. And so, you know, I think that the Justice and Mental Health Coalition, the Yavapai Justice and Mental Health Coalition, has put together a great resource site that they're filling with resource information at Yavapai Stronger Together. You can go to their website, and they've got a big red banner at the Justice and Mental Health Coalition site. And then through our website, we're also trying to post resources. And then through our town hall, hopefully that information, as well as the resources that we'll offer there, can be distributed throughout the community. And, you know, I really hope that we can ease some of the burden that people are dealing with on a behavioral and mental health basis with COVID-19. It has not been easy on anyone, and I don't know that anyone is spared from the stresses that have been caused by this.
Yeah, that's right. So some of the panelists that we have on that town hall, Leslie, you'll have to help me here, but I know that yourself, you'll be on there. I know that April Rhodes with Spectrum Healthcare will be on the panel. CCJ, Jesse Hans, U.S. Vets, Carol Benedict. I know that we have a pastor that's representing the Prescott Pastors Coalition, Jason Price. I believe Meals on Wheels is represented.
Bird Eye Jams with Meals on Wheels. Tamara Player with West Yavapai Guidance Clinic is going to be available. I think Deborah Black with Prescott PD will be available on the call for resources. And, you know, others, we hope that people will listen in. And if they, you know, want to add into the conversation, too, there's that option where they can ask questions or pose some commentary for the town hall as well.
Yeah, that's right. So the format will be those presenters we just mentioned will have a few minutes for comments early on in the town hall, and then we hope to have close to an hour available for question and answer, and have you write in your questions in the chat line of the Zoom meeting, and we'll hopefully get through all of those questions and have a great panel to answer all those questions that you might have out there. But it's just really important that people understand there are good resources out there available to them. We don't want anyone to feel isolated or alone. We want people to know that we're here to help, and we have great resources here in Yavapai County to help those populations that, you know, I get concerned about, Leslie, particularly with the elderly that are kind of isolated, disconnected. Maybe they don't have family here. You know, my mom is fortunate. I should say that we live right next door to her. I hope she's listening. And but not everybody has those kinds of social and personal relationships that way. And I'm also concerned about some families where maybe someone's lost a job or their business is failing. So those are some groups, and I know there's other groups that we're trying to reach out to.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people right now who are feeling very isolated. And you know, the news oftentimes doesn't help when people are sitting at home and watching what's happening in the country, parts of the country that are being heavily affected by this. It's easy to have a lot of anxieties and fears over what could happen here. And so we're just, you know, we're hoping to try to work on ways of connecting individuals. We realize we're asking them to stay home, but you know, there's nothing wrong with checking in on your neighbors, calling those people you care about, and just checking in. We're also encouraging business owners, if they've had to make layoffs or even out cutting hours with individuals who are normally working, and to check in with those individuals, making sure that as, you know, these massive changes for people are happening, that there's some accountability by the business owner or a supervisor or someone there who's just checking in on a regular basis. We hope that once businesses resume, people can come back to work. And it's really nice to know for those people who have been sent home and not working that someone cares about them.
That's great. Well, we have just a couple minutes here to the bottom of the hour. Would like to get your opportunity here to get some information out in terms of places people can go to find information in this regard? I already mentioned the website at yavapai.us, but any other touch points or places folks can get more information, and any other closing thoughts?
Yeah, thank you. You know, our website has a lot of good information. Now the Arizona Department of Health Services website is breaking down case numbers by zip code. And so you can go into their website. They've got lots of great tools for businesses, for first responders, for community members, and all of the latest executive orders from the governor, as well as a lot of great information. We also have the phone line open. That's the hotline. That's 928-442-5103. That's Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. People can call in there and talk to a live person, get answers to their questions. There's also the Arizona 211 line. That's a statewide hotline that people can call. And, you know, I just hope that everyone, you know, everyone's been doing a great job. I do hope that we see people keep up what they're doing now. We're not quite at that place where we can back off and just go back to normal yet. But the better we do right now, the quicker we're going to be able to do that. So let's maintain what we're doing. We're doing it right, it seems like, by the numbers. And I appreciate what everybody's been willing to do, all the sacrifices everyone's making. I do hope we can start looking at those next steps in coming out of this at some point.
Yeah, that's right. It sounds like we need to sprint to the finish here and keep our head down and keep working hard and follow those rules and guidelines. I appreciate what everybody's done out there in that regard. Leslie, thank you so much for your leadership in the county. I always enjoy hanging out with you and appreciate all the collaboration and working with the city and all the municipalities here in the region. I look forward, again, as you mentioned earlier, when we can get together and maybe we're not going to talk about COVID-19.
I look forward to that as well. And likewise, I appreciate all the leadership in our community and how they've jumped on board with this and been so supportive of what's needed, you know, got things in place so that, you know, I can't say we're sitting pretty, but we're doing better than most right now. And I appreciate that support through this process.
All right, Leslie Horton, Yavapai County Health Director, thank you so much. You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. We'll be right back after these messages.
Oh, say, can you see?
It's not every day you hear a British person singing the national anthem, but success is about getting the right attention. At A&E Rippographics, we provide printing that catches the eye. Get your business noticed with exciting new print marketing and signage. Quality marketing shows the quality service we know you provide. Stop by one of our three great locations or call 442-9116. Get your business noticed with A&E Rippographics today.
Waters Garden Companion Plants of the Month are lilac, poppy, purple plums, and our songbird columbine.
This graceful beauty dances in the shade of the garden, holding its head high, smiling back at you.
This bloomer comes back each spring with lacy green foliage, promptly followed by amazing two-tone flowers.
An excellent cut flower that is both deer and rabbit resistant.
So hardy, some varieties naturally call Arizona home.
Songbird columbine can only be found at Waters Garden Center in Prescott.
The Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A.
Thanks for joining KQ&A's Talk of the Town. I'm DJ Phone with your Wednesday check of local and state news and weather together. Brought to you by Affinity RV. A new poll from OH Predictive Insights shows Democrat Mark Kelly with a 9-point lead over incumbent Republican Senator Martha McSally.
Mark Kelly saw a 2-point increase, McSally saw none, which currently the race now sits at Mark Kelly at 51% support if the election were held today for U.S. Senate, compared to Martha McSally's 42%.
Chief of Research Mike Noble says
it's no surprise that Kelly and McSally matchup is very similar to Trump and and Biden, they're almost the exact same numbers. And it's because she is completely tethered to Trump and how he goes up and down.
7% of voters are undecided. While each candidate is doing well with their respective base, Mark Kelly has a commanding lead among independent voters with 67% support, compared to McSally's 24%.
I think it's just having a D next to him compared to an R, and that the Trump factor. Currently, where independents are sitting, it's just, you know, it's not really going the GOP's way.
Springtime sunny days are here and a pleasant weekend is on the way, chilling overnight to a clear sky, 39, with highs tomorrow through Saturday in the mid-60s. Windy tomorrow in Prescott, Prescott Valley, Chino Valley, and Dewey Humboldt. In Cottonwood and the Verde Valley, chilling after bedtime tonight to near 43, with sunny highs Thursday through Saturday in the low to mid-70s. Your KQ&A News and Weather this hour is a service of Affinity RV. Have a great Wednesday evening and stay tuned. Talk of a Town Prescott will continue in a moment on KQ&A.
During tough times, Cottonwood Area Transit and Verde Links are here for you, offering a free ride for those necessary trips to the grocery, pharmacy, work, or doctor. Monday through Friday on Cat, 7 days a week on Links. Rest assured, we're taking extra measures to disinfect our buses to keep you safe. To check on routes and schedules, please go to www.ride-cat.com.
This is Steve Sishka with Olson's for Healthy Animals. We live in interesting times, and the security of knowing what's in store for us in the future is up in the air for now. However, that doesn't mean that we can't make the best of what we have. There is a silver lining under every cloud, you know. Here at Olson's in Prescott, we've been looking at ways that we can make these times easier for you, your pets, and your wild birds. That means delivering to those who can't or don't want to leave their houses for one reason or another. These days, that can mean self-quarantine, or at the very least, social distancing. On a side note, did you ever think we'd be talking about this? Be that as it may, however, if pet food / wild bird delivery is a solution for you, just call 445-1664. We're offering free delivery within 10 miles of our Prescott store with orders of $25 or more. When you call, just give our associate your order, pay by credit card, and if you call before our delivery vehicle leaves, you can possibly even get your order the same day. Our mission is the health of your animals, and for us, good enough just isn't. We're waiting to hear from you.
You have probably heard that all good things take time, but at A&E Reprographics, we deliver great printing now, with same-day and next-day services available for so many of your marketing or personal printing needs. Don't wait a week for your print signs and custom designs. Stop by one of our three great locations, visit us online, or call 442-9116. Even Amazon can't offer that prime of a service. At A&E Reprographics, we're proud to be your one-stop print shop.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, the mayor of the city of Prescott, Greg Mangarelli.
Welcome back. I'm Prescott Mayor Greg Mangarelli. This is Talk of the Town on KQ&A. We're going to change gears and talk more about getting outdoors with my next guest here, Chris Hosking, the Trails and Parklands Planner for the city of Prescott. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for calling in. We're doing a little distancing with Chris Hosking here. He's not in studio, but Chris, thanks for taking the time to call in. We anecdotally, I think everybody that gets out, I know I get out as much as I can. I mountain biked here a couple different times in the last 3 or 4 days and see a lot of people out. What are you seeing in terms of trail counts and on the trails as well as in the parks?
Yeah, I mean, as you can imagine, we're definitely up between 40% and 50%. You know, the peavine this time of year usually get about 5,500 visits a month, and now we're close to 9,000 visits a month. That's the average. So, and then the Constellation is a busy trail there too. That's about 5,000 typically this time of year a month, and now it's up to 8,000. So we're cranking. We got lots of people out, and they are you know, spreading out and you know, distancing themselves as they go along the trail. I've seen it firsthand.
Yeah, I've experienced the same thing, Chris. I think folks are doing a pretty good job. I mean, when you pass somebody on the trail, it's a little bit more difficult, but usually people will sometimes get off to the side of the trail and allow others to pass that way, especially when I'm ringing my little bell on my bike.
Exactly.
Joe Baines and I talked earlier this week, and we were encouraging folks to get into some of the lesser known trails. Are you seeing that happen now at this point, or do you want to help folks find some of those lesser known trails?
I would. I mean, yeah. You know, the Peavine, like I said, the Constellation Trails, the Greenways, they're all very busy. You know, they're busy trails, but, you know, they've definitely got a little bit busier. Watson and Willow Lakes and the trails associated with those lakes are, you know, quite busy too. We're very fortunate. We have so many trails, and we're spread out all over the city. We have about 100 miles of trail plus in the city. But there are areas that people can go to, and we'll talk about their website a little later. But namely, you know, there's areas like Acker Park, which is off Virginia. Has got great trails in there and great views, good for kids. The Community Nature Center, which is right by Granite Mountain Middle School off of Williamson Valley Road, is an 18-acre open space parcel with about a mile and a half of trail, great views. You know, those areas can be used a little bit more, especially with the school not being in. You can get in there quite easily. And there's other areas. Pioneer Park is such a big area, and there's 25 miles of trail in there, so people can spread out. Big parking lots for people in many different areas to go to. And Prescott Lakes has got some great trails and great views. Right off of Serafina Drive, there's a parking area there. Off of Tawny Drive, there's another parking area. And we've got plenty to go at.
Yeah, no, that's right. And you mentioned 100 miles. That's just in the city of Prescott. Chris, with the partnership with the Forest Service, among others, don't we have about 500 miles of trails here?
Yeah, if you include, you know, Mingus Mountain and the Bradshaws going all the way to Crown King, yeah, we have plenty of trails and plenty of places to spread out.
How can people find some of these trails? Can you help us with a resource, a website, an app?
The best way to do this is to go to the city trails page, and the hyperlink for that is just prescotttrails.com. Once you go to that page, right at the top of the page, there's a trail app. There's a link to a trail app. So you go to that page on your phone, click on the app. It's an Avenza map app. You get that app on your phone. You'll just have to sign in. There's no charge. There's no nothing. And then we made the city printed trails map available on this Avenza map app. So then you go back to the same page of prescotttrails.com and get the map. So you get the app, you get the map. The beautiful thing about it is now the your phone now becomes a GPS. So that printed map is now on your phone, and the little blue dot will follow you wherever you are. So that's a great resource. Also on that Avenza map app, you can do a search of other maps that are free, or you can buy them. A good resource with the Forest Service is the Motor Vehicle Use Map. And if you're in, you know, have a quad or in a Jeep and you want to go a little further afield, you've got that geo-reference map on your phone.
Now, that's very, very helpful, because we want to get folks into these lesser-known areas, but this will give them a great resource to find those other trails, Chris. You know, I'm glad to hear that folks are following the rules and the guidelines, that they're social, or I should say physical, distancing out there in the parks and trails. I know there was some issues at one point at the dog park, but it sounds like that has been resolved and people are being very careful. I know you guys put up some signs at the parks. Has that been helpful?
I think it has for some people, yeah. I mean, they just need a little reminder, you know. People are excited to be out of their houses, and they go, you know, on the trails, and that's great. But they need to, you know, all the members of the family would need to think about, I mean, giving people space and following the CDC guidelines. So we're getting a lot of families getting out. It's it's very encouraging for me to see so many people, and people don't typically go on trails. You can see they're not typical trail users, and they're getting out there, and they're getting a break, you know, from being you know, away from their normal lifestyle.
You know, we're so fortunate, Chris, to have all the trails that we do, and I commend you and all the folks that have built all those trails. It's such a great resource, especially right now. We have tremendous weather that we're enjoying. It's absolutely perfect weather. And so this is a little bit of a silver lining with the COVID-19 is that people are discovering trails and more family time and getting outdoors, which I think is very healthy and may even attribute to some of the decline in these numbers, I believe, with the virus. So I really appreciate what you and your team have done to get this resource available for our people. I have a question on that note, though. You know, you guys have a very robust trail building group, and one of those, the primary in my mind, and maybe you can help me here, but the primary group is the Over the Hill Gang. I've done some work with those guys and seen them at work, and they do some amazing things. Are they on hiatus right now, or what's going on with trail building?
Yeah, unfortunately, they are on hiatus. We closed it down just with all the CDC guidelines, and I think it's the right thing to do. And, you know, I miss those guys, and I miss working with them and being outside, and I know they miss being outside and working on trails, too. But, you know, the work hasn't stopped. I mean, I've been quite busy catching up on many different things that I've needed to catch up on, you know, all the trail signages and, you know, trailheads, and I improved the road going into Granite Gardens the other day so it handles wet weather so much better. And, you know, we've got a lot of other things coming up as well. I'm going to be working with the Forest Service to help put a lot of their trails back together from the timber sales, and then also work on other trails that we've got planned for the Greater Prescott Trails Plan. So I'll be taking taking the excavator and the bulldozer and working with Jason and Michael, and we'll be distancing, but we'll be on machines and making trails. And so when we do come back, we'll have plenty of opportunity to with the volunteers to get those trails all buffed out.
Yeah, no, it's good to hear that there is some activity happening on this front. Just as a side note, yesterday I was out mountain biking up behind Thumb Butte, and I call it Upper Honey Bucket, Upper Honey Bucket, Lower Honey Bucket. And upper was okay, but Lower Honey Bucket was kind of a mess there because of the logging. So that's a word to the wise out there. If you're looking to go that direction, I'd avoid that one.
Yes.
Well, again, glad that things are moving along with that trail building. We have just a couple minutes here, Chris, before we're going to take a break. Let's talk just briefly about Epic Rides. You know, we had to cancel the Whiskey Off-Road. What's that looking like for the rest of the year? Is that going to be rescheduled?
It's not going to be rescheduled this year, no. Todd made, made the decision. There were so many moving parts to it that he's, he's looking forward to next year. And we are trying to, we'll see what happens in the fall. We are, working, with the, on the board of, I'm on the board of the Prescott Mountain Bike Alliance, but we're working with the Hometown Festival to have a mountain bike element to that. And I don't know what that's going to look like. It's our social committee that's going to be looking into that. But I think the good news is we are going to be having another event at some point in the fall. It probably won't be this year, but we've been working with a promoter who puts on endurance events all over the state, all over the West, actually. And so he's excited about running another event, hopefully with similar numbers to the Whiskey, in the fall.
Yeah, no, that's good to hear. And hopefully that'll crop up for us in the fall of 21. That would be another good byproduct of this whole situation. Well, unfortunate that we don't get to have our Whiskey Off-Road this year, but none of this should hinder that race happening in the spring of 21, right?
No.
Yeah.
No, it'll be bigger and better than it's ever been. I think you know, people are disappointed, and I understand that, but it's the right call. And it's, you know, the whole cycling community, in some regards, as far as the events, has been shut down, just like Prescott has been shut down. But what I'm hearing in the bicycle industry is bicycle sales are actually going up.
Well, yeah, I would expect that. Well, we need to take a little break. When we come back, we're going to wrap up with Chris Hosking.
What do you have left?
Hi, I'm Dave Barrett. Think back to a simpler time when things like home delivery of milk and bread came to your door.
Hosking. Chris? Chris, can you hear me? Hello. Did we hang up on him? I can hear him breathing. I don't know why. Is he not in my headphones?
Hello, Chris.
Hello.
Oh. Why are you ignoring the mayor?
I can't hear you.
He says he can't hear me.
I've got the music on in the background.
Oh, he's got music on in his... Well, turn your music off. That's fine. I'll just direct him if we have 2 minutes.
Arizona. We look through every piece of evidence to find and fight every potential constitutional violation. We aim to win by leaving no stone unturned, to form early and aggressive strategies to fight the government at trial, because we actually care, and because there's two sides to every story that deserve to be told.
Gaxiola and Litwack, your criminal defense team in Arizona. Call 602-717-0631 or visit their website, www.gaxiolalitwack.com.
In this moment, who has your back? Do you know the name of your insurance agent? Does your agent know your name? Or would you call a 1-800 number that connects you to who? Another state? Another country? Get a local independent insurance agent with Auto Owners Insurance. Someone you can call when bad stuff happens. In this moment, get an agent who will protect you in that moment. Hello, this is Susan Morrison. That agent is here at House Chilson Insurance. Come see us today at 400 Whites Bar Road. We are one of the only locally owned and operated independent insurance agencies left in Prescott.
With the Arizona Lottery's $1 million giveaway, I can join the Players Club for a chance to win $1 million! With that much money, I could remodel my kitchen. Heck, I could hire a private chef, too! Or a different chef for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Oh, chef, I'm hungry.
Now through May 31st, enter eligible $10, $20, and $30 scratchers and fast play tickets at azplayersclub.com to make your $1 million dreams come true.
Dusty house? Hard to heat or cool rooms? Dollars lost through leaky ductwork? Have Gettle's High Desert Mechanical test your home for duct leakage. When it comes to high utility bills, don't settle. Get Gettle's. A simple duct seal job with AeroSeal will seal the deal and keep that cool air in your home where it belongs. Call 928-772-2751 or visit GettlesHDM.com. That's GOETTLS. The guys and gals at Gettle's get it. What I like about
you. You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, the mayor of the city of Prescott, Greg Mangarelli.
Well, thanks everyone for listening here to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. And Chris, thanks for taking time to be with us today. Any closing thoughts? I've just got 1 minute left here, and maybe you want to mention again the resource to get folks on the website to find
sure,
the trails.
Sure. Yeah, the best way to go on to PrescottTrails.com. And you can get the app and get the map on the top of the page, and then if you scroll down, all the way down, you'll see all the list of about 30 city trails. Each one has got a description, a map, and of all the different trails, and then there's some videos a little further down. Other resources for trails is another app called Trail Forks, which is good for our area as well. But I just wanted to mention one other thing. One of the Over the Hill gang just moved away, and he's been a big part of the Over the Hill gang. He's helped me, you know, since 2008, George Sheets, and he's moved away to Florida just today. And he's been a big part of the Over the Hill gang over the years, and planning and zoning, and wish him well.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that, Chris. George is a great man. He's been meant a lot to our city. He's kind of a behind-the-scenes kind of a guy. But, you know, his contributions to our city are tremendous. And I did not know that he was moving today. So I will reach out and give him my well wishes. George, thank you for all you've done for the city in so many ways. And I know the Over the Hill gang will miss you. Well, Chris, thanks for being on the show. Thanks for keeping our trails and parks open. I'm so proud to have that kind of resource available for our citizens, and that we can offer for at least a season free entry into our parks and our parking areas for those trailheads. So, Chris, thanks for your work.
Thank you very much.
Well, we're going to wrap up here. I do have my daughter, Trish, my 15-year-old daughter, Trish, in the studio with me here. Trish, you can say hi.
Hey.
And she likes to tag along and help on the radio show here. But we just wanted to express to the greater Prescott area our thanks and gratitude for all the love and support and prayers that everyone has extended to us during this difficult time when we lost our daughter, Brooklyn Ashley. It was a very difficult situation for us. We faced that here over the weekend, this past weekend, over Easter weekend. And, you know, those things are never easy. I know many of you out there have probably lost a loved one and can relate to the pain and the just loss that we've been feeling. But I just want to say thank you so much for reaching out. We really appreciate the love that we feel from our community, and it makes it a little bit easier. Trish?
Yeah, it means a lot to for all the prayers and love. And, yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of hard still. I get it. Well, what a great city we live in. Thank you all so much for all that you're doing to follow these rules and regulations with COVID-19. I feel very proud of our city and the position that we're in. I'm very hopeful that we can get out of this soon. Grateful for Leslie Horton and Chris Hosking for being on the show today, and want to thank both of them for taking the time to be with us. Well, that's all we have for our show today. Thanks to everyone who's listening in. And you're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A, 1130 AM and 99.9 FM in Prescott, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, and streaming live worldwide at KQ&A.com.
You've been listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Today's show was sponsored by House Chilson & Associates, Prescott Brewing Company, Cottonwood Area Transit, Gettles High Desert Mechanical, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, A&E Reaper Graphics, Janessa's Family Hair Care, Barrett Propane, Augie's, Cliff Castle Casino, Yavapai Regional Medical Center, and Olson's for Healthy Animals. The views on today's show do not necessarily reflect the views of KQ&A, Prescott Valley Broadcasting, our employers, or our advertisers. Join us next time for Talk of the Town on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM and 99.9 in Prescott, and at 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A.